everybody, and welcome to episode 72 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man replacing Christy Brinkley on this season's Dancing with the Stars, Brian. Brian, how are you, my friend?
I'm a little nervous.
Talk to me.
All right, so you are aware about Christy Brinkley. She hurt herself.
She hurt herself, and now, initially I had heard her daughter was going to replace her, but then in a surprise twist, they announced you were taking her place.
Well, that was something that we, you know, we've been in contract negotiations for a while. My concern is this, and obviously nobody can replace Christy Brinkley. I mean, Billy Joel, all right, he kind of replaced Christy Brinkley.
Somewhat, yes.
All right, so maybe that statement's not quite accurate, but my problem is this, is that I don't believe I have the goods, and I know I can come in second in this competition. I know I can. I'm confident.
Who do you think's coming in first?
I'm not going to be able to top Sean Spicer.
Well, especially not after seeing how he did last night.
The man, anyone with the level of confidence to pull off a neon green puffy shirt.
It was something to see, no doubt about it.
If there is an alpha move that stronger than that, I don't know what. I mean, that to me just made me, you know, put my ballerina shoes onto the ground, tap my hands, turn around, walk out. Sean Spicer, you have got this year's Dancing with the Stars. Good luck in your path of world domination. I've got nothing on you. Congratulations.
All right. Well, let's get through this podcast so you can get back to practicing the rumba and the cha-cha and all those other dance moves.
Drink of the week.
Salud.
Drink of the week. Sláinte.
Pause.
Drink of the week. Drink
All right,
of the week.
Dealer's Drink choice of the week. This week. Not really a theme that we're going with. We just kind of brought whatever we wanted to the table. Brian, what is your choice in your house tonight that you're drinking?
Well, today I am trying a cosmic sour from a brewery up in Boston called Samuel Adams.
No.
But before I hit that, I have poured myself a nice little shot of Tennessee whiskey, courtesy of a good friend of mine, Jack Daniels.
So you're doing a little shot, down the hatch it goes, a little Jack Daniels, and then washing it down with a sour. That'll be interesting. Let me know how that is. I didn't realize Sam Adams was doing a sour beer. How is it?
Well, the Jack Daniels really negates any flavor that the beer is bringing to the table. I'm going to have to take a couple sips after I cleanse the palate. What have you got going on over there?
Also a sour over here tonight.
We
this
do
one
have a,
from,
we've got a theme.
We an unintentional theme. So a little Dogfish Head Sequench Ale, one of the Session Sour. Have you had this yet?
I have not had it. If
brewed
only
with
there
lime
was
juice, lime peel, black limes, and sea salt.
So I'm guessing that it's going to have a hint of lime in it.
A touch, yes, a little touch.
Okay, what are your thoughts?
I love that. Well, this is actually one of my favorites, so that's why I grabbed it. This is actually, even though it's only been out for a short time, already the number two selling beer at Dogfish Head,
now,
right behind the 60 Minute IPA.
Ron, where would I be able to get this beer?
Do they carry Dogfish Head in New York?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't seen it in a while. I wonder if there was any kind of online source where I would be able to source this beer. I'm trying to
Unfortunately, I don't think our friends at Tavor carry this, but if you wanted to sign up for Tavor, referral code 265020, then yeah, possibly it would pop up. But I think Dogfish Head may be a little bit too mainstream for them now.
So Dogfish Head is considered mainstream.
I think they're getting there. And they also have a line of spirits that they are rolling out in a wider audience as well.
Defined spirits. Are we talking about a competitor to the hard seltzer?
No, they are putting out, they have a vodka, a gin, a roasted peanut vodka, and then a mix called Sonic Archaeology, which I think is rum and a few other flavors mixed in there. Oh, and they also have a honey rum that they have.
Wow.
A little something you might not know. So check out Dogfish Head Brewery and Spirits now, as they like to call themselves.
All right, I tried the beer again, the Cosmic Sour.
And your thoughts?
If you're going to go sour, you've got to go more sour.
Okay.
It has so it's not too sour. But okay. It's not sour enough. Like if I'm going for a sour, I want my face to pucker. My throat to clench.
You don't get that with this sour either. It's got a little sour to it, but it's not overly soury. Probably want something more sour.
Yes, man. And is there a place online? Because you know I like to shop online. You know I love shopping online. Is there a place online where I might be able to get, to order for delivery?
Right to your house, you're hoping.
Of course. A sour beer that I would not be able to find stocked in my local beer distributor.
I mean, possibly the good folks at Tavour might be able to help you out with that.
How do you spell that?
TAVOUR.com.
Now, that sounds really good to me, Ron. I really like the fact that there's a place where I can go online and get online beer. But you know what my problem is sometimes, Ron?
What is that, my friend?
The cost. It's especially when it's something that I'm trying for the very first time, I'm a little nervous, a little, apprehensive about, taking that leap of faith that this is going to be quality products, So what makes me feel a little bit more comfortable is if there's a way that I could, enjoy some savings. I'm not asking for, free product.
A bit of a discount, $5 or $10. Well, Brian, use referral code 265020. Get $10 off your first order.
What?
I know, crazy. What? Not sure how they stay in business given those kind of deals.
The kind people at Tavour, I can't believe it. Those people are geniuses.
All right, shall we roll on? We got drinks in hand.
Following you.
Let's keep this going.
This
week
in
racism.
Well, to nobody's surprise, Gene Kremer knocking off the Sioux Falls racist 100%. She swept it. Sioux Falls racist could not manage to garner a single vote this week. So Jean gets win number two. Not only that, no racism this past week. And I am starting to wonder if people are concerned as to whether their level of racism can match up to what Jean Kremer has brought to the world. And if they're just not being as vocal about it. So we will not have a vote this week. Obviously, we felt that possibly the Sioux Falls racist could stand up to her. No competition, so we're going to hold off another week. We don't want her to get an easy win. I mean, she's clearly heading to the year-end tournament as it is, but we will hopefully in the next week get some more racism. And if you see anything you think we're missing, share it with us on Facebook, Twitter, or on our Instagram, or go to the website, ronandbrianpodcasts.com. Even though we don't have any really new racism this week, we do have a little bit of a racism rewind.
Racism rewind.
So about a month ago, we mentioned in Muskegon Police Department, a police officer was selling his home. An African-American couple was touring the home looking to buy it. And in his bedroom, they found a framed Ku Klux Klan application hanging there as part of memorabilia. That particular police officer, Charles Anderson, has been fired finally. So after a review, a disciplinary hearing last Thursday, he was let go. The ironic thing that people are pointing out is that back in 2009, he did actually kill a black man during a traffic stop. So people are pointing out that apparently does not get you fired in Muskegon, but bad press will. So yeah, well, just a little follow-up we wanted to give to you there.
In Muskegon Police Department's defense, it okay. was far more acceptable a few years ago to kill a black man than it is right now. I mean, times have changed.
Yes.
You know, as a white police officer in redneck America, you knew you could get away with that kind of stuff and be able to just claim self-defense. There was a struggle for a firearm. I mean, you knew you could get away with it. Nowadays, thanks to the efforts of the Ron and Brian podcast and This Week in Racism and just generally woke people throughout the United States, you know, you can't get away with racism like you used to.
And an interesting story before we get out of the racism segment and seeing how far people are willing to go to cover that up. We're going to Granville County, North Carolina, where Sheriff Brindell Wilkins was indicted Monday on two counts of felony obstruction of justice. Amid allegations, he discussed killing a former deputy who had a recording of him using, quote, racially insensitive language.
Okay.
So, yes.
Back up. No. Back this up, because this story took a weird turn that I was not expecting. I got a little distracted when you said his first name was Brindell.
Yes.
Brindell
okay, first Wilkins. Which is there a more redneck Southern name than Brindell Wilkins?
When you say that name, I'm visualizing Jackie Gleason from Smokey and the Bandit. Like, that is literally, like, the visual of a Brindell Wilkins is Jackie Gleason. Now,
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've seen a photo of Brindell, and you are not wrong. Okay. Let's just put it that way.
So he was caught on tape admitting that he killed a fellow police officer.
No. He didn't admit killing the police officer. He apparently, during a conversation in August of 2014, this deputy, Joshua Freeman, apparently recorded Sheriff Wilkins using racially insensitive language, and he felt that that Freeman was going to give this audio to the authorities in Raleigh, so he was making arrangements to have the deputy killed.
Oh, okay. Still really bad.
I mean, not great, not much better.
The optics on that are poor, as we like to say in the game.
Yeah. So he'll be facing a couple of counts. It's
that's rough.
I mean, I guess I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my brain around if that makes sense or not. I'm trying to wrap my brain around how you defend yourself against that. But we will definitely be tracking that story moving forward. And as always, keep an eye out for racism in your neighborhood and let Ron and Brian know about it. Brian, you seem to have a thought in your mind.
Yeah, no, I that story really just kind of grabbed me in a way that most stories don't. Like, it's like, how is this guy not in jail right now?
I mean, he is, you know, innocent until proven guilty. He did post bail, so I guess, right. You know, listen, and also I'm sure he's a sheriff, so, but it's a sheriff trying to kill another police officer, so you'll have to see which way the thin blue line comes down on this.
It's odd, because usually it's the employees that are trying to kill their boss, not the other way around.
Not vice versa, but listen, it just goes to show you, recording this racism stuff can be dangerous, so be careful out there.
Yeah, be very careful what you say, because you never know when words come back and bite you in the ass.
Or get you killed, one or the other.
Absolutely.
All right, are we ready to beef it?
Ron, I think it's that time.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
I've got a two-pronged beef.
Okay.
All stemming from the same incident.
All right. I'd like to hear both prongs.
Okay. And they're both incredibly first world. They're both incredibly insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but it's also including an acknowledgement of that fact. My beef is this. I am utterly dependent on Amazon, and Amazon lost a package of mine.
Sons of bitches.
I bought garbage bags last week.
Okay.
Yes. Garbage bags. Now, I've got one of those Simply Human garbage cans in my kitchen.
We have those as well.
So I needed size G garbage bags.
Okay.
And how do I know that I needed it? Because when I took a bag out last week, I got the little sticker attached to it saying, time to reorder.
They are very good like that.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to complain about that too. I'm full of beefs. Okay.
Okay.
So I got the sticker And like the sheep, the human sheep that I am, I pulled the sticker to the side. Later on in the day, brought the sticker over to my laptop, jumped on Amazon, typed in Simply Human, garbage bags. I placed an order for a box of them. Then I went to my closet, and I decided what I was going to do was I was going to take out the final little plastic packet of garbage bags that are inside the box, only to discover, this is my complaint about Simply Human, that there was still a full bag of garbage kit bags.
Oh yeah, they let you know. Wait, that's just for that individual bag that you're running out of. It's not for the entire box.
So there's like four little packets of garbage bags in a box.
Yeah, this and each one has that sticker.
So it was lunacy the fucking follower that I am. I got this sticker and I was like, time to order more garbage bags. And I ran to Amazon and I placed the order. They shipped the order the next day. The next day I'm waiting for an email saying your order has been delivered. Doesn't happen. I cannot lie to you. I believe I checked my Amazon app probably about, and this is not an exaggeration, and it's embarrassing to admit, but when there's a problem and it's a beef, I'm going to complain about it. I checked it about 10 times throughout the afternoon.
And nothing.
Nothing. And he was supposed to. So now I'm filled with like this slow boiling rage that Amazon said they were going to ship today, and this is the next day, and it's the day I'm supposed to receive these garbage bags. Now, keep in mind, this is where it's such an irrational rage.
Because you don't even need them that quickly.
I literally have like at least 3 weeks of garbage bags sitting in my closet, but I am filled with so much anger over Amazon. Now, had there been a way to complain without having to speak to a human being, I would have clicked that complain button. So, but I did not. I just sat there seething. The next day, woke up, checked the app again. Still says in transit, in transit, in transit. Never set out for delivery. Just said in transit. Finally, a day goes by. I then file the complaint with Amazon. And I got an email, I would say maybe within 12 hours, saying, we believe your product was lost during transit. Would you like a refund, or would you like us to ship you out a new product? And like the idiot, the feeble human being that I am, I clicked on, no, please send replacement.
See, I'm surprised, because normally what they do, because we've had the same thing, the app will eventually say, oops, something's wrong. You're not getting your package on time. Come back on Friday, and if it still hasn't arrived, we'll help you out. Like, you know what? I know, we said guaranteed delivery, but fuck you. Come back in a week.
Oh, I was fucked. So my complaint this week is Amazon and the fact that I am hooked on Amazon, because I could have gone to Bed Bath & Beyond, not to name drop, because I don't want to brag, but I could have walked literally four blocks to a Bed Bath & Beyond and bought those garbage bags.
I recommend, I was going to say Bed Bath & Beyond is where we get ours, because you can also use your 20% off coupon.
See, I've reached that point where it's just the online ordering is so fucking convenient. You click a button and then 2 days later, there's just a box at your door.
That's where they get you, though. That's how they fuck you. They get you hooked on the sweet, sweet crack of in-home delivery.
See, I always thought with Bed Bath & Beyond that they increase their prices are more expensive, and then they give you the 20% off coupon to break you even.
But I hate to break it to you, Brian. Was it an Amazon Prime item that you ordered?
Yes.
Then that price was also marked up to cover the cost of the shipping.
Son of a bitch.
They get you. They get you every single way.
Fuck it. Every opportunity. Ron, enough about me. What is your beef of the week?
Mine, also very first world, getting very aggravated about Facebook groups, specifically that people don't realize that there is a search feature within the Facebook group that will probably answer most questions that people post repeatedly in the Facebook group. For example, I belong to a podcast group, and someone is always asking, what's the best microphone to get? Literally, like, five times a day, people are like, what's the best microphone to get? what's the best way to market your podcast? Where if you literally just went in a little search field and said microphone, it will pull up every post that anyone's ever posted about microphone. My local neighborhood, we've got this spotted lantern fly infestation in Pennsylvania. Real simple thing you're supposed to do if you see a spotted lantern fly, you're supposed to kill it, number one. Just like, don't even let it live. Stomp the fuck out of that thing. And then there's a website that you go to and you report, I've got a spotted lantern fly in my neighborhood. How many times a day do people post this shit? So many times. When again, all if they just searched in their little group, spotted lantern fly, you'd get, what's that website I need to report the spotted lantern fly on again? So, people, get your fucking head in the game. Use the search field in your Facebook groups.
Ron?
Yes?
I would just like to point out that the Wall Street Journal, 9 hours ago, article, Spotted Lantern Fly versus Pennsylvania, subheadline, The Bug is Winning.
It, apparently it is. It came over in a shipment from China in 2016, apparently.
Oh, fine. You can't blame the Jews for everything, Ron. You just can't.
How is something coming over from China blaming the Jews?
Who controls shipping?
Anyway, so apparently spotted lantern fly has no natural predators here in the States, so it's been expanding. It kills trees. Grapes apparently are a big issue in Pennsylvania. It's been costing the Pennsylvania wineries $80 million a year in lost product. I read the other day, for every spotted lantern fly you see, that's one less bottle of wine on the shelves. So that's a problem.
What is the impact that the spotted lantern fly has on the hoagie industry?
I don't believe it's impacting the hoagies in Pennsylvania.
Hoagies. I love it.
Now, an article came up today, in fact, that the USDA is bringing in wasps from China to see if that can possibly combat the spotted lantern fly. Apparently, over in China, these things keep the spotted lantern fly in check because they lay their eggs like in the bodies of the spotted lantern fly who then die. But apparently, this is like a few years off because apparently, you know, you want to check and see how, you know, releasing these wasps into, you know, an ecosystem is going to impact both the insect and the ecosystem, which is good because I just thoroughly expected that we'd have no spotted lantern flies, but we're all getting killed off by these fucking China wasps afterwards.
Have you killed any spotted lantern flies?
I killed my very first one the other week. Like, I'm walking through my my parking lot at work and something's like crawling along the ground. I'm like, oh, that's a big looking bug. And then I'm like, it's very distinctive with the spots on the wings and everything. I'm like, sorry, my friend, you have to die. So stepped on them, crushed them. They're very juicy, very, very meaty insects.
Ron?
Yes.
You are truly an American hero.
I mean, I didn't want to use the word hero, but I feel like a hero.
Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the French when Germany was approaching the border, ten being a firefighter from Brooklyn on 9/11 who rushed to the World Trade Center. That's a 10.
Okay.
Where do you rank yourself?
I mean, I got to go 7 out of respect for our first responders, but I'm going 7.
I would have gone a 7.75. I mean, nice. You took on the challenge of an invader, and you did your part in keeping your community safe.
With no fear. No fear whatsoever.
No, and what I liked about it is that you were gentlemanly about it. You communicated to your future kill. You apologized for the upcoming murder of the lantern fly, and then you proceeded to kill it with impunity.
Yep. It's what needed to be done.
There we go.
Speaking of American heroes, we lost quite a few American heroes this past week. I can only assume, Brian, that you are ready to eulogize some of these folks in the way that only you know how. Would that be correct?
Well, Ron, I think that there's a tradition on this podcast, and that is when American... When the celebrities of America, the people that are the fabric of America, the people that made America what it is, when those people pass away, we send them off with a tribute, and this week is no different than any else.
All right. Well, I think I know who's most important to you. So should I just get the music going?
You got it. Hit me.
Right? You're the big Eddie Money fan, right? That's who, isn't it?
What's going on?
Two Tickets to Paradise. Isn't that the song you wanted, Eddie Money?
I'm sorry.
I know who you were. I know who you were thinking of. My apologies. I know who exactly you wanted to eulogize. So let me get this. Let me get this queued up for you.
But you kept it going till the sun fell down. You what? Kept it going.
Rick Ocasek, obviously of the Cars. That's who you wanted to eulogize, correct?
I think honorable mention maybe.
I'm just confused here. So, I mean, maybe we just get some music on and you do you, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I think we all know the true death that took place this week. Celebrity obituary. American reporter Cokie Roberts passing away from breast cancer. This one's gonna hurt. Cokie Roberts. All right. Ron, step back. I got this.
All right.
Cokie, my Cokie, where did you go? I grew up watching you on the news show. Your wit was my crutch. You taught me so much about being a smart American and hating the Dutch. Spent 30 years in Washington, D.C., from Nixon to Carter and Trump with his tape with P. You own the political world. You made Ronald Reagan unfurl. Nancy Pelosi called you a trailblazer, even though your hair was not curled. Oh, my departed love, Cokie, a role model to women, though low-key. You preferred your whiskey a little oaky. Let's hope Trump ends in the pokey. From Ron and Brian, much love to the late Cokie Roberts. The world won't be the same. Today, we're all feeling a little pain. So I'm pouring out a little bit of my beer. Cokie Roberts reporting from heaven. For you, cheer, cheer. And we out.
No. Well, my apologies, my friend. I should have known your love for Miss Cokie Roberts.
If there is anything that just makes my heart melt, it is a female reporter in Washington, D.C., taking on the system, breaking down the sexist barriers of the journalism world, breaking in the 1970s on NPR, then making her stand when she jumped over to ABC, kept Peter Jennings in check, kept Sam Donaldson in check. I mean, no way you could let Cokie Roberts go off without a proper ode.
What about you strike me as a Cars fan? Nothing for Rick Ocasek?
I did like the Cars, but there was something about him that I always liked, though he made me very uncomfortable, like on the eyes. Putting aside the Polina Poroskova, like the fact that this guy was able to take down one of the 80s.
Premier supermodels.
She was literally first wave of supermodels, and he looked like a cadaver that came back to life. I did like the Cars. I hate to say this, but you know, he kind of fell off in terms of relevance. Where, you know, a lot of times, you know, when he passed away, I literally sat there. I was like, I don't think I've heard him in about 10 years or so. If I had to grade it, I'm going to go B minus.
Really? B minus?
Yeah.
I mean, the Cars were, I think, one of the bands that really took advantage of the popularity of MTV.
Oh, my goodness.
I think the videos that they did, especially the song that we played there, You Might Think, actually won an MTV Video Award. But yes. Just crazy videos that they did. I'm going A minus for Rick Ocasek.
Okay, what about Eddie Money?
Eddie Money, I mean, I'm going B plus with Eddie Money. I mean, decent musical career. I especially liked, you know, the fact that he was just literally like a raging alcoholic for most of his career, and everyone just kind of overlooked it. They were like, well, that's just Eddie being Eddie. But yeah, I mean, Take Me Home Tonight, Shaken, Two Tickets to Paradise, just great stuff. What's your thoughts on Eddie Money?
Definitely B plus. I think, and I think this might be one of my issues, is that I think that when we're dealing with Rick Ocasek, I believe that the music, how do I say this? It was entertaining in the time, but I think the 80s were a very soulless decade when it came to music. I listened to the Cars, after Rick passed away a couple days ago, I put on the Cars on Spotify, and I just sat there. I was like, you know what? It's catchy, but it doesn't connect with you in any way.
So are you saying the Bangles are soulless? Are you saying Huey Lewis and the News are soulless? Is that the word you're trying to put out there?
Kinda.
All right. Well, I'm not going to really argue with you.
But Eddie Money, you listen to his stuff, and it came out around the same time frame, same time period. But you listen to, Take Me Home Tonight with Ronnie Spector, and that shit literally still kicks ass.
I would agree with you.
So that's where he goes. And ultimately, I think the loss that we're all going to miss the most is oil legend T. Boone Pickens.
I was going to say, let's not let T. Boone's passing get mixed up in all these deaths we had here. Passing away at the age of 91, made his money in oil, but then made his way into clean energy. A lot of wind, a lot of solar. He used to say that he lost more money in wind energy than anybody. I think he put it about $150 million at one point. Just a philanthropist, all-around nice guy. His charitable donations exceeded over $1 billion in his lifetime.
Yeah, he's actually one of the billionaires that we was on the good side. And was trying to help. I mean, and I'm about to make a transfer to the next subject, but here was a guy who sat there and said, we need to get away from oil because it's not our future, it is our past, and decided to put a lot of his money into renewable energy. He spent his money on wind. You also have solar, and basically what it does is it's just sending the message to our world that we cannot depend on oil as our energy source like we used to. Worries me a lot about what's going on in Saudi Arabia right now, Ron.
And what is going on in Saudi Arabia right now?
Looks like we're about to go to war with Iran.
It would appear that way. Why now, is that, Brian? Tell everybody what's going on in Saudi Arabia. Or not even, I mean, it ties together Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Iran, it would seem.
And somehow the United States is about to go to war. That's the part I don't understand. It's the fact that you've got these... Saudi Arabia has been in a unofficial war with Yemen for about 4 years. It is considered by many to be the largest humanitarian crisis going on this planet right now. That you've got the Saudi Arabian government, which is ludicrously wealthy, at war with the support of the United States armed industry. The military, they're getting arms, they're getting weapons, airplanes, bombs, whatnot, because they literally have seemingly refillable pockets. Because every time you get in your car and drive a mile, your gasoline is supporting the government of Saudi Arabia. Now, before I go... totally off the radar, which I know I could see it in your face. I saw you doing it.
I see where you were going.
It's the fact that and I don't know the genuine origin of why Saudi Arabia and Yemen are at war, but they're at war, and Saudi Arabia is just literally killing people by the thousands and thousands, and nobody gives a shit. And it's just the world we live in. But what happens is the fact that Iran, which is, it treats itself as a balance to Saudi Arabia. There's this unspoken battle between Iran and Saudi Arabia for who is going to rule the Middle East. Obviously, the United States since 1979, when the Shah of Iran got kicked out and the Ayatollah Khomeini took over and held the Americans hostage from the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. You know, there is no way we are going to side with Iran on anything nowadays. So we're throwing all our support behind Saudi Arabians. So there has been this, there's been this constant battle between proxies where Iran will not attack Saudi Arabia directly. What happens is Iran supports factions that are against the government of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia
specifically
does the same.
The Houthi movement.
Yes, not to be confused with the Tutus or the Hutsis from Rwanda. I mean, there's so many different factions going on throughout this world. Basically, to make a long story short, this past week, Saudi Arabian oil facilities were attacked through drone attacks and potentially cruise missile attacks. Now, the Houthi rebels from Yemen took responsibility, but United States Secretary of State Jorge Pompeo immediately jumps in by announcing that this is the work of Iran and Iran directly attacks Saudi Arabia. Donald Trump immediately jumps on Twitter, says that our armed services are cocked and loaded and ready to go to war, all because Iran blew up an oil facility in Saudi Arabia. The very next day, this took place over the weekend, on Monday, the price of crude oil jumped 10%.
And everyone, from what they're saying, is gas prices in the U.S. will go up 10 to 25 cents a gallon in the next 2 to 3 weeks because of that.
That doesn't sound a lot, but if you're driving, 45 minutes a day, that adds up to quite a dip out of your paycheck. So we are about to ignite a war with Iran because we don't want to pay 25 cents per gallon. But had we followed T. Boone Pickens and invested in solar energy and wind energy, we could have looked at Saudi Arabia right now and said, sucks to be you. Good luck praying to your Iranian warlords.
Well, Brian, you've jumped over into international affairs when really the only thing that's interesting in this world, the only thing we should pay attention to is celebrities. I mean, we were there with celebrity deaths. You had to get us overseas. Now let's come back and let's focus on celebrities, specifically the Comedy Central roast of Alec Baldwin that aired this past weekend, took place about a week or so ago. Brian, I know you caught up, you watched it the other night. What were your thoughts on the roast?
It was refreshing. It genuinely was a refreshing break from the uber PC, super woke world of comedy. Put a pin in that because we're going to get back to that comment in a little bit. But it was, the last few roasts have been quite, what's the word I'm thinking of? They're very much like Wonder Bread. Where, you know, the first roast that they did on Comedy Central where Jeff Ross was hosting and, you know, they were hitting people hard. David Hasselhoff, Pam Anderson. I mean, these were roasts where literally people would get up there and the lines were just solid overall. And then they started to hit a point where you started to ask yourself, why are they doing this? You know, people like Lisa Lampanelli were there. Patrice O'Neill, Anthony Jeselnik. I mean, they used to have really just some solid people that were on the dais. And then it just got real weak. Like I remember William Shatner, I thought was a great roast. You know, maybe it peaked at Shatner. I thought Flavor Flav was slightly downhill. Bob Saget, I had a lot of high hopes for, but I don't think that it really nailed. And then they just kind of meandered for a few years. I think Charlie Sheen, if I remember correctly, that one was a really good roast. If I'm not correct, that was when Amy Schumer really just skyrocketed with her line about Patrice O'Neill and what was it, his diabetes, about to lose his leg or something along those lines. That was a great one. But the last couple of years have been quite weak. James Franco was weak. Justin Bieber was, I don't remember that being very good. Rob Lowe was terrible.
Bruce Willis.
See, last year, Bruce Willis, I thought they started to get a little bit better. I thought, you know, Demi Moore coming out. But, I mean, when you're looking at a dais of Sybil Shepherd and Dom Herrera and, you know, Dennis Rodman, like, Lil Rel, there was no, Lil Rel had no relevancy with Bruce Willis. Like, they've, like, you know, I thought this year, Alec Baldwin, I mean, I got to admit, once again, I question the type of people that they were bringing up onto the dais. You know, I don't really understand what Caitlyn Jenner was doing there. I don't see her link with Alec Baldwin at all. I don't get Blake Griffin being there.
Well, it was also my beef of the week just for that. Like, give me comedians, give me stand-up. But yes, why do we have to pull in these random celebrities like Blake Griffin, like Caitlyn Jenner? Who else? I mean, even, listen, you know I love me Bobby De Niro, but not necessarily the right room for him to be in.
He looked like he was confused. You know what he genuinely looked like? He looked like somebody that was at the UN listening to headphones while somebody was translating what the Prime Minister of Rwanda was talking about. Like, look like he was part of the room.
I will say, whoever wrote the material for Blake Griffin, those were good. I think the best line was him thanking Caitlyn Jenner on behalf of all the NBA stars and half of the rappers out there for all of his daughter's daddy issues.
Yes.
But you want to know, a couple of things about Caitlyn Jenner bothered me.
Oh, hold on. Only a couple.
Well, her material was not great. The problem I had with her is she was the one person who really made the bulk of her act about herself rather than roasting the people or, you know, around her. She did a little bit, but she kept coming back to her and, you know, how everyone should really pat her on the back for transitioning and being open. But, like, two things that she said was, you know, well, if I can stand up here and take all of the abuse being flung at me, all of you transgender out there should take that, you know, and take that and you can do anything. All right, you've been flown to a roast that you're probably being paid for. Like, is really going to do a celebrity roast really that big a deal compared you know, some of the things that transgender across the country are putting up with? You know, we've had 18 African American transgender people killed this year alone. And then later on in her act, just talking about, you know, it took a lot of courage for me to you know, come out and transition in public and everything like that. Listen, I will say this, not that it was easy, but when you have a shit ton of money in the bank and you have a support system and you're a celebrity, I have to think that's a little bit easier than people who are worried about, you know, coming out to their parents as gay or coming out to their parents as transgender, because they don't know if they're going to get kicked out of the house. They don't know if they're going to get disowned by their family. Again, I don't think it's apples to oranges. And Caitlyn was making herself out to be some sort of crusader. And I don't know. I just don't see it. One of my favorite lines of the night, I mean, a lot of people called Caitlyn out on her being a Republican. My favorite was Jeff Ross saying, like, you know, you made a choice to be a woman, but you'll vote for people that won't give women the choice.
Right. I thought that was a great line. The one thing that I thought that I was disappointed at was the fact that nobody, and I don't know whether it was, you know, they people made jokes about it and it was edited, whether it was something that Caitlyn Jenner's people said you cannot reference or whatnot, but I thought it was outrageous that nobody brought up the vehicular manslaughter charge against Caitlyn Jenner that she was able to skate away from.
I think there was one joke, and I think Jeff Ross may have made it, about running your car into a car dealership, but it was very round. It was very roundabout.
No, she killed someone. Now, I'm not saying she pulled out a knife and slit their throat like her former best friend OJ. What I'm saying is that she was driving down a highway and slammed into a car that slammed into somebody else who died.
Yeah.
You know, and not one person made a reference to that, but everybody was talking about Ken Jeong's little penis from The Hangover 2.
So I will say, I think the person who killed it the most, Nikki Glaser, I think was the best. Her and Jeff Ross.
But they're... they're the only two real comedians on that board. Like, you know, Nikki, like they know, like, first off, and this is one of the things that I, you know, I found out recent today, doing some reading on it, is the fact that that Comedy Central hired a writing staff that wrote roast jokes for the past 3 weeks.
Right.
Then what they did was they basically wrote roast jokes for each person that was on the dais. And then basically what happened was, as they reached out to people that were, you know, going to be presenting, they would say, okay, here are jokes. Tell us which ones you want. So that what I read was that Nikki Glaser sat there and said, no, I'm going to write my own jokes. Jeffrey Ross said, no, I'm writing my own jokes. Blake Griffin said, I'm going to take your jokes. Kim Jong said, I'll take your jokes. Caitlyn Jenner said, I'll take your jokes. What I found interesting is the fact that Alec Baldwin, they saved some of the best stuff for him.
Yes. He crushed it.
Normally, by the time the guest of honor comes up at a roast, it is everybody's ready to head home. But he literally made the last 10 minutes of that thing. First off, and I really thought he had a good sense of humor about the jokes going after him and the infamous voicemail that he left for his daughter, Ireland.
Yes, he clearly, you know, I mean, he was very sensitive about it at one point in his life, but he can somewhat joke around about it, and you can see that relationship with him and his daughter has healed.
Yes, and at the same time, what I appreciated about him, and maybe it was acting because he is a great actor, don't get me wrong, but it looked as if he acknowledged when it was a really good line.
Yeah.
Like, you could see the different reactions based on how brutal the reference was. And if it was a really good one where it was a 9 out of 10, you saw a genuine reaction out of him like, all right, that one hurt a little bit.
And one thing that I found that was interesting is it seems, and it's somewhat surprising, it seems that it really bothers him that Kim Basinger has an Oscar and he doesn't. Because his daughter really, like, hit him with that a few times, and he laughed, but it looked like it stung a little bit.
Well, I think he definitely comes across like as if he takes himself, you know, seriously as an actor. Now, keep in mind, you know, I think he knows that he does not always do Oscar-worthy work. But I think he thinks about, you know, what he's capable of and what his, what his talent level is, that he puts himself in that top tier of American actors, probably doesn't think Kim Basinger is in that territory.
I got to say, and showing some of him, I forgot when he was younger, he was quite a piece of ass.
He still is. What are you talking about?
I mean, he's a handsome man, but like he was when he was like in his prime, like he really had those looks where you were like, oh, yeah. And again,
no. I can understand it.
In one of my favorite, if not the favorite movie of mine of all time, Glengarry Glen Ross. One of the best
that
cameos.
Coffee down.
Coffee is for closers.
These are the Glengarry leads. You're not going to get them.
For you, they're gold, but you're not going to get them.
Did you watch the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the new season with Jerry Seinfeld?
I have not.
There is one episode. It's the one with him and Mario Joyner.
Mario Joyner, interesting.
The two of them endlessly admit that one of their greatest joys in life is quoting Glengarry Glen Ross to each other.
It's an incredibly quotable movie.
So as they are driving around the streets of Los Angeles, somebody will say something, and then out of nowhere, one of them will just say a line that seemingly fits what they're just talking about, and then they will literally cut to a scene from the movie where, you know, suddenly, like, out of nowhere, Jerry will be talking, and Mario Joyner will mention something about the police, and then Jerry Seinfeld will just, out of nowhere, just say, Why would she call the police? And then they immediately cut to Al Pacino looking at Kevin Spacey being like, why would she call the police? And it is such a great movie. I'm going to need to rewatch that.
We'll have to, maybe we'll have a live tweet, Ron and Brian watch Glengarry Glen Ross.
I have a better idea. Why don't we watch it at the same time and have a podcast?
All right, we can do that.
Put that coffee down.
So sorry. So kind of interesting. We had the roast this week where people saying a ton of inappropriate things. You have a point to make or a segue?
I was going to say that I kind of feel like we just did a disservice to the roast of Alec Baldwin.
In what way?
I feel like we both just bashed it, and at the same time, I think I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I mean, it was great. Yeah, I think there were things that could have been better, but overall, I would give it an A.
Yeah, I think it was incredibly solid. I think this was some of the best writing on the roast for years.
It's one of those roasts that if I sit down and I see that it's on, I'm going to watch it again. Like, yeah, that's how good agreed. The material was.
Yeah, I don't want our listeners to sit there and say, well, then if Ron and Brian don't like the Comedy Central roast of Alec Baldwin, then I'm not watching it.
I mean, we've killed off franchises before. We don't want that to happen here with the celebrity roast.
Well, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but if I do recall, the people at Sony reached out to us to say what our thoughts were about Spider-Man remaining in the MCU, and I said no go. And well, I think we all know how that worked out.
So speaking of comedians saying inappropriate things, that cost Shane Gillis his spot on the upcoming season of Saturday Night Live. He had been mentioned as one of three new cast members. And then, ironically, he had a podcast, because that's rare. There's not like there's 708,000 of them out there. And apparently he made some offensive comments about Asians and China and Andrew Yang. And I don't know. There was your thoughts on it? I've heard so many arguments for and against and so many good points for and against that I don't even know where I stand on this issue at this point. I want to hear your thoughts.
It's a sign of the time. We are currently in an age where you, as an entertainer, if you want to achieve a certain level of stardom, need to play by society's current rules. And those rules are such that you may be raunchy, but you may not be offensive. You may not attack somebody else based on who they are. You're not allowed to be to make racial comments. You're not allowed to make transphobic comments, homophobic comments. You're not allowed to make any type of slurs about any ethnicities. If you choose to do so, you will never be accepted within a certain layer of entertainment. You know, you've got people like Andrew Dice Clay, who will always make insensitive comments. It's part of his character, but never going to receive an Academy Award. He's never going to be embraced by Hollywood. Then you've got, you know, podcasters, you know, and I've seen Shane Gillis live, you know, in a comedy setting. I found him quite funny, but he made a conscious decision, and you know, and the podcasts that are in question are relatively recent. He knew what he was doing, saying, you know, the comments about Andrew Yang and being in Chinatown. He used a slur against the Chinese Americans that community is not appreciative of. He knew that he was going for what I would like to say low-hanging fruit in the comedy world. And as such, he flew too high.
Now, I saw someone made the comment he didn't get fired, or they felt he didn't get fired because of what he said. He got fired because he really screwed up the apology. And that what you say is one thing, but the apology, your mea culpa afterwards, is so much more important in this day and age, in this cancel culture that we have now. What's your take on that?
I actually gained respect for him in his apology.
Okay.
He basically stood behind his comment and said, I was trying to be funny. I was trying to be, you know, humorous, and this was the approach I took. And if you don't like it, then I'm not sorry for it. unfortunately, if that's the approach you're going to take in your career, you are not going to be on Saturday Night Live.
And clearly he is not.
You are not going to be the host of the Oscars. You can ask Kevin Hart when he gets out of back surgery. I'm not saying the two are linked. I'm just saying that if you're going to go that route in trying to be funny, you have to accept in today's day and age that you're going to be accepted to a certain point, but you're never going to become elite.
So let me ask you this. Long term, is this a good or bad thing for his career?
I'm going to say it is a bad thing for his career because I think that Saturday Night Live, I mean, like, you can become a household name. Now he's just going to be a, one of 100 comedians in New York City that are fighting for stage time.
But is he necessarily fighting? I mean, you go off the old adage, you know, there's no such thing as bad press. Everybody knows who this guy is now. So after the initial quiets down, you know, are people going to book? I mean, fuck, Louis C.K. gets slots now, and he, you know, jerked off on people. That was Antonio Brown, allegedly.
He jerked Antonio Brown, if we're going to get to that, he allegedly farted in somebody's face. Louis C.K. jerked off on himself.
Right.
What I'm going to say is this, is that Shane Gillis was one of many New York comedians, white cis males that are out there. They are funny. If you watch them do 15-minute sets, you are going to laugh. You're going to enjoy yourself. But this guy is not going to be making Hollywood movies. And let's be brutally honest. Saturday Night Live has become a springboard for Hollywood fame. You look at the roster of people on Saturday Night Live, and you are looking at some of the funniest Hollywood actors of all time.
All right. Well, we're coming up on an hour here. Before we shoot out of here into the Patreon content, I know everyone was a big fan of Get to Know Ron Lightning Round last week. So,
oh, no.
Wrap things up here, Ron, I mean, are you, yes? Are you open to a Get to Know Brian Lightning Round? I have some questions written down here that I'm curious of. I've curated them, much like you did for me. I will give you one pass, but I think,
I don't want to pass.
Well,
I don't want to pass.
All right. But
That was a bitch. I genuinely think it was a bitch move last week on your part. There's no pass. Let's do this.
All right. So we'll start you off with a softball here. As many of our fans know, we're both New York Yankee fans. Who is your favorite New York Yankee of all time?
Reggie Jackson.
Nice. All right.
I was 5, 6, 7 years old. It was really the period of time where I started to get aware of the sport of baseball. I started to realize my fandom of the sport. Reggie Mania was just at its peak in New York Stadium. I remember going New York Stadium. What the fuck am I talking about? I remember going to Yankee Stadium in 1978 with my dad. I remember, you know, I was not fortunate enough to see any of the playoff games or whatnot, but I do remember going to a game, watching Reggie hit a home run, and I remember him being showered in the outfield with Reggie bars, and I remember watching the grounds crew running out to right field to scoop up all the Reggie bars that had showered down on him, and it just reminds me of my childhood, and it was kind of the time that made me realize just what was so great about baseball.
Nice.
All right. Here's one that I stole from you. Favorite movie?
Goodfellas.
All right. Let's see. What else do I have here? Do you consider your penis to be average, above average, or below average? And I will allow you to choose what criteria you're going to rate yourself on.
Shit. Okay, now, if we're talking about length, I'm going to say average. If you're going to say girth, I'm going to say average. If you're going to say performance, got to go below average.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Let's see here.
Listen.
Yes.
My hand has never complained.
Besides Life of Agony, favorite band to see live?
Social Distortion.
All right. What else do we have here? Jewish stereotype that you agree with the most?
Fuck. I think there's only one real Jewish stereotype, and that is being frugal. And I'm going to say that I am incredibly frugal at times, but I also spend my money like a baller in other times. So I got to go frugal.
All right. Jewish stereotype you disagree with the most?
Being cheap.
Okay.
There's a difference between being frugal and being cheap.
I would agree with that. Best childhood memory?
Oh, okay. I was maybe about 10 years old, and I was obsessed with promotion days at Shea Stadium for the Mets. I was obsessed with them. So if there was a weekend promotion where they were giving away something, I wanted to go, and I wanted to get that free thing, hence my Jewish stereotype of being frugal. So if it was like bag day, I would sit there and be like, I want to go there, and I want to get a bag. And you know, I pushed my dad to get us there early because, you know, they were only giving away, you know, bags like the first 20,000. I was like, well, it's got to go. So we would show up like 2 hours early. If it makes you feel any better, I still do that to my friends now, you know, in my mid-40s. Point being is that the mother load of promotions was Bat Day.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this was a famous New York Yankees giveaway, was Bat Day. They always had it once a year, and it was given to all, fans of all ages. And what was famous about it was the fact that eventually they stopped doing Bat Day because people were using the bats as weapons at the baseball game.
That was my favorite part of Bat Day.
It wasn't going just to the children. It was going to adults as well. And people would get into fights, and they would pick up their bat, and they would start beating each other with it. And eventually the Yankees, there was just enough injuries that they said, we can't do this anymore. So about a year later, the Mets decided, you know what? If the Yankees aren't going to do Bat Day, let's do Bat Day. So they announced that they're going to do Bat Day. And I remember saying to my dad, oh, my gosh, they're doing Bat Day on this day. Can we go? And my dad was like, maybe, we'll see. Let's see what the weather is. You know, like let's wait until closer to the day and we'll buy the tickets. But, you know, if it's going to be hot that day, I don't want to go. And I pressed him on it. It was really fucking annoying. And I would have hit me if I was my dad. Finally, it was the week of the game. And my father, I remember there was an article, a little blurb in the New York Post, that said, Bat Day is this Saturday, and if you want to go, make sure you buy your tickets now because available tickets are dwindling, and it's definitely going to be a sellout. And I remember running and showing my dad the paper and being like, Dad, you got to buy tickets, and he said, you know, it's still like 5 days away. Let's see what the weather is. Finally, the day of the game, my dad wakes up and says to me, you know what? The weather's great. Let's go to the game. And I said, yay. And he went out and he bought a paper. And I looked, you know, I was reading the sports section because at the time that was the only part of the newspaper I read. And the New York Post had a blurb that said, today's game is sold out.
Oh.
And I was heartbroken because I wanted that Mets bat. And I was so devastated. And I don't think I cried, but I pretty much was close to it. So I remember showing it to my dad, and my dad being like, you know what? Let's go anyway. Let's see. You know, maybe they'll put some tickets on for sale at the last minute. Well, you know, maybe we'll just go. So we showed up to we walked to the stadium. And this was when they had ticket booths outside the stadium at the different entrances where normally you bought your ticket. This was, keep in mind, the Mets were terrible in the early 80s, just absolutely awful. They had never sold out a game the entire time. We used to just go there, buy our tickets, and go. So we literally got to the first set of ticket booths, and they were all closed, signs that said sold out. And my dad said, let's go to the next one. Ticket booths, all closed, signs, sold out. And I must have been on the verge of tears. And I remember my dad looking at me and said, you know what, maybe we should just head home. You know, I don't think we're going to or hold on a second. And then he reached into his pocket and he pulled out two tickets.
Oh!
Said, unless you want to use these and go inside. And I literally, it was as if the sky parted, the Red Sea parted. Like, it was, literally was the best moment of my life. And still to this day, favorite childhood memory.
So
and
HP yes, was Ron, just fucking with you.
I got a bat. Oh, he had stopped by and bought tickets about 3 weeks before the game.
Too funny. Gotta love it, though. Gotta love it. All right, what else? All right, who had more red flags that you ignored? Wife number one or wife number two?
Jesus Christ. Fuck you, Ron. Wife number one.
All right.
Wife number one. Everybody that I knew told me that I was making a terrible mistake.
That was a question that I showed my wife, and she's like, you're really going to ask that one, huh? I'm like, he said he's up for the challenge.
No passes. It was definitely wife number one.
All right. If you could have one wish granted, would it be one that benefits only yourself or benefits others?
Myself.
All right. Let's see. Dream job. What is it?
Oh, dream job. Shit, I don't know what my dream job would be. I mean, part of me thinks I would like to be working for the New York Yankees, but that feels way too much like George Costanza. But I think I would be like in heaven working for the Yankees in some capacity. Another one, I really enjoyed going on tour with Life of Agony last year. I really, you know, it's a... It's fun and it's low pressure. I think, you know, touring in the music industry is another one.
All right. Almost got a couple more here. Place you would want to live other than New York City?
Well, I don't really say that I'm a world traveler, so I can't really speak from experience of a lot of places I've been that I would want to live. But if I had to pick one... It would be a metropolitan area because I do enjoy cities over external. I'm going to go, I'm going to say Rome.
Ooh, very, very international. All right.
It, maybe it's because I'm a quarter Italian, but there's something about Italy I've always related to.
All right. And one last question in the Get to Know Brian lightning round. How many years do you want this podcast to go on?
I cannot think of not doing it. I would love for it to morph into another form of entertainment. I would love to be able to do this live in front of a crowd. Maybe I got a taste of it at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. For those that would love to hear what that episode sounds like, join our Patreon. Multiple levels where you can join as cheap as $5 a month. You get a free episode from our Philadelphia Podcast Festival, as well as an extra half an hour of content every week.
Which we're about to record.
Yes, but there was something I would love to be able to sit to get to a point where you and I can like go on the road and just do like our shows in different towns.
I like it. I like that. I like that idea. So we'll have to see how we can make that happen. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this episode, the free episode, as we like to say, for the commoners, the common folk. And we are going to roll into our Patreon episode for our special friends, our subscribers on the Patreon, which you can be. Go to patreon.com/ The Ron and Brian Podcast. And as always, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, ronandbrianpodcast.com. And as always, we ask you to rate, subscribe, and review. Brian, you have anything else for this episode before we get out of here?
I love you. I love our listeners. Just be good to each other.
All right. A little mad motherfucking clown love going out to everybody here. All right. We'll catch most of you next week, the rest of you on the Patreon.